Hi, this is Clarissa Jacobson from Lunch Ladies, and you're listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 255, and I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and I'm still alive.
I'm Daniel, and I am also alive, I guess. Barely.
I'm Doug, and I'm moving around my house.
You like doing that, don't you, Doug? Like just going, I think, when are we going to get the Doug in the bathroom video? Is that next? You on your throne?
Oh, that depends on if you make us watch Hubie Halloween.
I guarantee I will state that right now that I've seen Hubie Halloween and it didn't make the next list, so everybody can be safe.
I was Zoom meeting once, for a work meeting, and it was down to like two or three participants, and one of the guys took his laptop into the bathroom, and but you know, and he left the video on. So occasionally you would see the walls of the bathroom, or you knew where he was. You could hear the flushing. The mic. And I think afterwards I said, you know, I discreetly said, you know, next time, actually, if you have to do that, you shut the video off and you mute it. Because now everybody knows what your bathroom looks like. And
oh my god,
I saw a viral thing that someone did that, but like with a meeting full of like 30 people. Mm-hmm. So I mean, his case wasn't that bad, I guess.
I think there's a commercial on there where like you're doing your meeting with work, and everybody's just now knowing that you're not wearing any like boxer shorts. Yeah, that's right. I know Simon isn't wearing pants right now. So
I don't like pants.
So kilts only?
Kilts only, yes. I have a whole selection of kilts. Maybe one day on the YouTube.
You got a little fan under the table, too, to keep them cool.
I like that.
Keep it chill.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
You know, it's sort of like seeing the devil all the time.
Yeah. It is. I did.
Euphemism. Sorry, yes. Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Bill Skarsgård. No, yeah, Bill Skarsgård. Yeah. Sorry, Sebastian Stan, Eliza Scanlon, Jason Clarke, Riley Keough, Haley Bennett, Donald Ray Pollock as the narrator, David Atkinson, and Harry Melling.
Great cast.
It is. Yeah.
Great cast.
Yes. Yeah.
And a really long film.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Netflix special. Got a lot of Netflix movies on this episode, so.
Yeah, Kevin hasn't been allowed out of his apartment in years.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, a segue. Did you guys see the big release from Disney today? That they're going to focus on streaming content over films?
I did, and I'm fine with that.
So, yeah. I guess the writing's on the wall right now, so.
For like TV streaming or regular, like, Disney Plus
streaming. So they'll probably focus more on shows, but they'll do the occasional movie for streaming. So
that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
I think they're elaborating in a call in December, just the direction of things. So that's cool. Lots of Star Wars and Marvel content, I guess, and Pixar. You know.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want.
Well, right. The devil all the time was not what I wanted.
It was not what you wanted?
This thing was painful.
A creepy tale in the middle of West Virginia?
Oh, my God. This thing went on forever. Literally, I'm like, I just don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. I tried. I tried to like this. I want everybody to know I went in with a clear mind.
You always do.
And I'm like, it must have taken me three separate viewings to try to finish this. I couldn't make it through all in one sitting. I just kept getting so bored. I'm like, this is dumb.
It was like an experiment to see how much suffering you could put each individual character through.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I don't think there was a happy storyline for any character in this movie.
No. And Donald Ray Pollock, he narrates, but he also wrote the source material, the book. So he's just a sadist, I think.
Mm. And our good friend Robert Pattinson shows up for some heavy overacting.
I love the accent here, though. Him and Harry Melling, they sounded cool. And Bill Skarsgård did a good job with his accent. But no, I like the cast a lot. Every performance was strong. But I agree. I had to watch it in two sittings, and usually I plow through it in one sitting.
Hold on. We're going to stop right there.
Sure.
You had to take a break, Mr. I can't be disturbed ever. I need to watch a film in one sitting to absorb the essence. Is this the person? No. This is exactly what you've stated.
Yes.
You watched in two sittings.
Honestly, lately I've been doing that just for time. But here, yes, I had to.
Oh, I'm so busting your balls on this one.
No, it's different. It's different from you because you watch segments of different films. I can't start another film until I finish that one. So it's a bit different.
How would you know if I was watching segments of different films?
Have I ever told you? Yeah, you watch 20. You watch 20 minutes of one, 20 minutes of another one, or something.
Before we go back to Devil, whatever this all the time, mm-hmm. I want to say that I finished the movie completely tonight in one sitting.
Which one? Oh, okay. You a bull one?
Bammy versus Godzilla?
Yeah, no, it was. No. Well, let's go back. Yeah, sorry, Dan. No, I cut you off. Continue.
No. Yeah, I love the cast. But yeah, I had to take a break. I love the first. I actually really liked the first hour. Mm-hmm. I liked how cohesive. Like, I love movies where every story meets. I find that interesting. But Jesus Christ, this couldn't have been under 2 hours. It's just, it goes on too long. I love the bluegrass music. I like the first hour a lot. But when Bill Skarsgård died, I kind of started to lose interest.
Do you think that's a problem with the source, like being that it's going to be on Netflix, they'll just ramble on and add extra stuff that would normally be trimmed for a theatrical? So. Yeah.
Maybe.
I think Netflix just says, hey, we need at least an hour 45. The rest is up to you.
Yeah, I think that it's much more director-driven. It's not product-driven. It's more director-driven. And so if the director wants to make it 5 hours, it's 5 hours. You know, they'll break it up into two parts or three parts. They'll just do whatever. As long as they're probably just given a budget and they're allowed to work to the budget. But of course, if you bring Tom Holland and Skarsgård and, the Winter Soldier and Batman and all these other people to the table, you know, they'll give you a little bit more to work with.
Dudley Dursley from Harry Potter.
Yes.
And why is this
originally a Netflix film though?
I don't know. I think it is. Yeah.
I think so.
There were a bunch of Netflix films that kind of spun out of, like, Marvel shoots in Georgia. So a lot of the actors are looking for things to do when they're not shooting their action sequences or their close-ups. So there have been quite a few films. Like, we watched that one with Sam Jackson and Brie Larson, right, which was terrible.
Oh, the Unicorn Store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are a few like that have spun out with actors from this. There was one with the actor that plays the Falcon was in something recently.
Netflix. Anthony Mackie with Frank Grillo. Yeah. I can't remember the name.
Was it an action movie? Show, the OA. Was he on that show?
He might have been. Could be wrong. Yeah. But I think they did an action movie, like a military film. That was on Netflix, yeah.
I'm thinking of something different then. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, so not a good two-hour time waster.
Hold on. I would like to say a little bit more, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right.
So I just feel this film had too many storylines. I mean, Tom Holland obviously becomes, I think, the star of the film by the end, or supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I really didn't think there was really much to any of the stories. I thought they were all basic. I thought they tried to do depth that was more with set design and music and look and feel of the characters as opposed to actual doings of the characters until we get to the end and then we find out what Bill Skarsgård's up to. And that was probably the best storyline with his. I don't feel a lot of everybody else had anything to do of interest other than him.
Wait, who? Skarsgård? Because he died in the first 35 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Who's the guy that has Ryan Keyhole as the wife?
Oh, Jason Clark.
Sorry, Jason Clark. Sorry, had the best storyline. I apologize.
Yeah, I love serial killers. I just love a solo of that, other than just this. Well, Jesus is bad or something, whatever this is trying to drone on about.
Yeah, I just kept going and going and going. I'm like, I just don't care.
See, for the most part, I think the acting was pretty decent in the whole movie.
Sure.
Great. Except for Robert Pattinson. He's the only one that I did not feel bring his A game.
You didn't like that high voice accent that he's doing?
Oh, and when he licks his fingers after the it grossed me out. I did not care for that.
I felt the same way about his appearance in The King.
I was about to say this is just typecasting of, hey, let's show up for 25 minutes, do an act, silly accent, and then fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Do something stupid, some high character acting piece and make a fool of yourself and then disappear again. And then go pretend you have coronavirus.
Do you think he's pretending?
No, I don't think so. But that was the rumor that was going around.
I didn't hear about that.
He faked it. So he stopped production on the Batman because he had coronavirus. But now they're saying that he might have faked it to not work.
Oh, come on.
So it doesn't make sense.
What would he gain from that?
But he's out of shape.
There's that whole meme with him standing in the kitchen.
Yeah. He sat around and ate himself to...
Everybody's out of shape, pretty much, except for The Rock.
Right, well, you could smell what he was cooking.
I'll never stop rolling.
Yeah.
Do you smell what Enola Holmes is cooking?
Well, if we were elementary. Done with that one? It's elementary, my dear.
Oh, yeah. starring Millie Bobby Brown, Henry Cavill, Sam Claflin, Helena Bonham Carter, I don't know what that was. Louis Partridge, Bryn Gorman, Susan McComa, Fiona Shaw, and Frances De La Torre, who was she was in Goblet of Fire. She was like the giantess.
Right.
Not a Harry Potter star.
Nothing wrong. It's British. Of course there's going to be people with Harry Potter in it.
That's fair.
I'm going. I don't care. This takes too long.
Right.
I want to say I didn't hate this, but I love it. I think it could have been better. I don't think there was any detective work. I thought she was going to be like a new Sherlock Holmes. I think they were trying to say that. And if she talked to the camera one more time, I was getting upset.
I like that. I like
which is what exactly what Kevin told me. He goes, "You're gonna go nuts for her talking."
Yeah, I saw and I said, "Simon, you're gonna hate this because of the fourth wall breaking."
And he is 100% correct. Like, stop me! And every time she does, I'm like, "God, stop talking to me. I got it. I'm not five. I totally understand what's going on." Mm-hmm.
There totally was a Dora the Explorer moment too. Sorry.
I'm the map.
Sorry, go on with it.
I just want to say, I love the set design. I think these costumes are beautiful. I think the set design is beautiful. It might even get an Oscar. I mean, there's not much up against this. This set design is pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they spent months building this. You can obviously tell. There's a lot of work. These are real places they're in. Mm-hmm. That's not green screened. I hate to say this, but Kevin's going to laugh. I could take a sequel of this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I did love it.
Maybe some less fourth wall breaking, but...
Some less fourth wall breaking, a little less of Mycroft, because he's just boring as crap.
Maybe.
And more of Sherlock. Love Sherlock. And I want more of that police guy.
Lestrade,
yeah. Yeah, I like him too.
Maybe she could break the eighth wall in a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Double it. I don't know.
I think everybody should talk to the camera.
Like we are right now.
Yeah, that's what
I want. Just do the second one as a Zoom call.
See, I kind of think that this movie's biggest strength is also its biggest weakness. It's the fact that it's not trying to be Sherlock Holmes, like Simon said. There's really no detecting going on.
Mm-hmm.
She's more like, I guess, a puzzle solver. With the word games going on in the newspapers. But like I said, I think that's kind of what makes it unique from Sherlock. She's not trying to be the master detective, But I also think that's what audiences were expecting. So if you're going and looking for that kind of mystery, that's not what you're going to get.
Sure.
Well, I found this film charming. I really enjoyed it. I thought it looked fantastic. I thought it was completely not a very good representation of London in the 1800s, which would have been dirty and filthy and disgusting. And instead it made London look really cool, look really bright and attractive. And the cast, another fantastic cast for a Netflix film. Everything about it was great. Obviously it's riding a lot on Millie Bobby Brown, and she's a darling. She's very good. She's easy to watch. And I think the film was designed to appeal to younger people, to kids.
Yeah.
I think the book is like a YA book. I had some issues with the portrayal of Sherlock and Mycroft because Mycroft's supposed to be the smartest of the three kids, or the two kids now, three. And Sherlock is much more sympathetic than I would have expected him to be in this. But I did think overall, Cavill, even though he looks like the Michelin man, wearing his giant bulky suits, I thought he carried it well. I thought he was very good, and you could tell he was impressed with her. And you know, she kind of blunders into the whole affair with the young son of the House of Lords guy.
That's, yeah, the long name.
Yeah,
and she says repeatedly.
Yeah,
he saves his ass against the knife guy. Like, she helped him out.
And that actor's really
Gorman.
Yeah.
He is the perfect like look for a Sherlock villain, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great.
And I really love the mother had made all the kids unique thinkers. She got them all thinking about stuff. So you could tell that they were related. They were all trained a certain way to look at a room a different way than most people were. And they were all original thinkers. So they didn't have to think the same way, right? Which is your comment about Sherlock and Enola not being detectives, or she's not a direct detective and he is. She's very observant, right? And she's been trained to be a good observer and a puzzle solver. And yeah. I think she'd be, if you were doing a detective agency, she'd be a great part of that detective agency with Sherlock, right? Sure. No mention of Dr. Watson at all in this, so I assume this is before he showed up.
I've never read the books. Maybe Doug has, since being our literary person on the show. I mean, is this police guy in the books, or is he a new character?
Yeah,
Lestrade is in the Arthur Conan Doyle stories.
He's Scotland Yard. He's in all the stories.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there's no sister. There's no Enola Holmes. Okay. That's a creation for this. So.
So I'm sure people are upset by this then.
I will say, there was like 10 minutes in this movie I could have done without. Mm-hmm. The whole part where she gets sent to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I thought that that slowed everything down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I really enjoyed this overall though. I thought it was sweet. Love Millie Bobby Brown. I thought she had a good chemistry with Cavill, with the long name dude. I thought that twist was interesting. You see it coming, but I thought it was good either way. What else was I going to say? So yeah, to your point, like not a lot of detective work, but she's very, I like that she was a quick thinker, and I thought that aspect of the writing was clever. And
I just want to go back to the point have the Fiona Shaw in the school scene. Do we have a use for Mycroft then?
Not really.
You would have to give him something else to do.
Mm-hmm. He's the foil.
He's trying
to stop her while Sherlock is enabling her.
But that's why we have the school, right? Just to give us 15 minutes to see how smart she is to figure something out.
I think it was in the book, so they felt they had to include it.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like it's what's that? Not Annie, but the other one, the one with the hat, Matilda. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a different kid show. Like they were at an orphanage. I can't think.
Annie?
No, you know what? Let's just go with Annie. But I'm thinking of one where she has like a yellow hat.
Madeline.
Thank you, Madeline. Was that an orphanage or no?
No, she was at a French boarding school.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Same difference. Oh, no, orphanages are French boarding schools.
Oh, my grandmother's going to haunt your ass for that comment.
No, I mean, but it's not an orphanage, though. Or at least in this film, it's not. Wait, what am I even saying? Because it's a school for young ladies, to be polite, right? It seems like an orphanage. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that
the young ladies would be taught etiquette and
sure
womanly duties.
Kevin's been saving his funds to send me there for years. I figured I might not make it.
So you can learn which knife to use, which fork to use.
I probably do need that training.
Just start from the outside and go in.
That's what I was always told.
You could say they're even being babysat killer queen.
That is a terrible, terrible.
Come on. They're being, I know. I didn't know where to go.
Don't blame me. That was bad.
I'm not blaming you. Babysitter, Killer Queen. Starring, directed by McGee, starring Judah Lewis, Jenny Ortega, Emily Allen Lind, Andrew Bachelor, Robbie Amell, Bella Thorne, Hannah Miley, Sarah Samira Weaving for like a minute, Ken Marino, and Leslie Bibb. Is it a spoiler saying Samira Weaving's in this?
No.
No.
She's in the credits on IMDb. Okay.
She's on the poster, I believe.
Yeah, I think she's on the poster. On IMDb. Yeah, so that's fair. Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm looking at the poster. She's not on the poster.
I tried to get the poster for my background, but it just wouldn't come up, so I put this one up instead.
Yeah. That's the header from Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I just take what they let me have. Douglas, you want to start?
I'll start by saying I never saw the first one, so I just went in blind to the second film.
Okay.
It was okay. The parts I enjoyed, I liked the over-the-top gratuitous violence, like Bella Thorne's demise caught in between the craggy cliffs and her head gets pulled off.
Yeah, she gets shot in the tit in the first one.
Yeah.
Or she does it again here too, eh?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
I liked Robbie Amell. I thought he was a fun character. Aside from that, not really knowing the mythology, I didn't know the first movie. Maybe I'll go back and watch it, maybe I won't.
They do the same thing over, to be honest.
Maybe I'll have a bologna sandwich. Maybe he won't.
Yeah, and basically that kid, the star of the film, is harassed by those four people and his babysitter, and who he's in love with. And they want to sacrifice, again, the same plot. They want to sacrifice a virgin to get power from the devil.
If they really only need his blood because they sacrifice someone else, but they need his blood because, yeah, he's a virgin and he's pure.
Yeah.
So just stickler for the plot. Sorry.
Okay. Maybe we'll get into spoiler territory then. But if Samira Weaving was the main antagonist in the first film, why the change of heart in this movie?
Honestly, it makes zero sense.
At the end of the first movie, she does lament her decision, doesn't she? She does, but she does regret. She did like the kid.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't make sense why Emily Allen Lind is the big bad in this one. Because she's hot.
She's
a sweetheart in the first film, and she looks 14 there. She does not look 14 here.
She's supposed to be like 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, well, it's 2 years later. They're supposed to be 12 in the first movie. These are not 14-year-olds.
No, they're not 14-year-olds.
Oh, damn.
I still don't care. Emma Lynn can come in any movie she wants.
It's the animal hormones in the milk, I guess, that's making them age faster.
Yeah,
so.
But for the character, I rewatched the first film. For the character, it doesn't make sense. There's nothing that suggests that she's going to just, I mean, I guess high school corrupted her. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of silly. First film is not good, but this film makes the first film look very good.
Fair.
Well, I got to argue with all you guys tonight. I love this one. I thought this was a great sequel. I laughed. I had fun. It had piles of blood. I enjoyed this immensely. Absolutely had so much fun watching this. I thought the kills were funny. I thought the characters worked. I thought the storyline worked. I took it for what it was. Mindless entertainment from Netflix. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I have no issues with this film. It's not great. It's not going to blow anybody away, but it's funny. Maybe laugh. I could probably rewatch this with my kid if she put it on one night.
My problem is the comedy tries way too hard, and you have to survive like 30 minutes of cringy high school shit to get.
I love these movies. I love cringy high school shit, Daniel. You should know that about me.
Wait, you sure? But no, I thought it was really cringy here.
Who else, you know, watches Box Borders and tells you it's funny, even though I give it a two?
I don't know. Oh, is that that weird sex comedy that's not even a sex comedy?
That's the one.
Okay.
Well, I'm with you, Simon. I love the hell out of this movie. I thought it was a great thrill ride. It was funny. I love Rob Yamel. And yeah. I thought the cast was really good in this. I mean, it's basically the same cast, but I did like the addition of Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
You know, we could do without Ken Marino. I'm kind of sick of that guy already. But, you know, I'm thinking.
Is that the dad? The dad?
Yeah.
That's the dad, yeah.
I thought the dad was funny. He's just trying to be a dad. Doug knows what it's like being a dad on those days. You got to do it, what you got to do.
I thought that, exactly.
I didn't like that weed subplot, though. I thought, I don't know.
Oh, no, totally. Daniel, get out of your house occasionally with Kevin. Take him with you. He needs to get out, too.
Mm-hmm.
You'll meet these guys. They exist.
Yeah.
There's always one dad you know has been smoking too much weed before he got to the soccer game.
I don't know. I didn't like it. I like some of the kills, and I thought the girls carried this. Emily Allen Lind and Jenny Ortega, who I liked on You, that Netflix show, You. I thought they carried this. I don't know. It didn't click with me.
Disappointing, Daniel.
And I like slashers. I just thought it was boring.
Oh. You just don't get it. You need some weed.
I understand. It's not that I don't get it. I just don't think it's a good movie.
Fair enough. I didn't say it was great. I said it was pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah, oh, to quote somebody I used to know, it was fine.
Yes, I turned it on and I watched it and it was fine.
Uh-oh.
And it had teens in it. So I like teens.
And I like teens, so it was fine.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, it was no Tiger Hunter, that's for sure.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's a good transition. Do we have time to do that one? Or...
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Do it.
6 minutes. I haven't seen it, so. Tiger Hunter, starring Danny Pudi. Danny Pudi. Was Rizwan Manji, John Heder, Karen David, Kevin Pollak.
Kevin, you're going to start this for sure.
I came across this randomly because it has Danny Pudi, and I know him from Community. So he plays an Indian guy. His father was the great tiger hunter in the village. He was a very beloved man, and his father died many years ago. Danny, he's the fix-it guy in the town. They put together money so that he can go to America and become a great man. And the girl he loves... at some point shows up in America with her father, and they have he and his buddies. So once he gets to America, he can't get a job as an engineer. He works in the drafting department. You know, the hijinks ensue as they try to get him into the engineering department, but it's very much a boys club, of rich white guys. So, he lives in an apartment with 15 other guys.
I think six.
So they all have the community in interview suit and things like that. So they all, someone's got an interview. Okay, you take the suit. And so, but they're all sleeping on the floor. Like one guy turns one way, all the other guys have to go like dominoes and switch their sides and stuff. So, overall, I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. It was like a late 70s thing. I don't think it ends high in a highly dramatic way. Or that interesting. I think it was all set up, and I thought the casting was charming. I liked Danny Pudi. I liked his father, the flashbacks with the tiger hunter and stuff, and and how important it was. And I thought it was cute. It was just like a family drama in a sense, right? So, Go ahead. Sorry.
I have to agree with everything you said. I just wish it had a little bit more comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I like the guy that makes the street food was my favorite guy. I thought he was good. I thought the whole microwave thing was just kind of like we need something to do, so that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the work comedy didn't work. All it is Danny Pudi and his roommates are the best part of this movie.
I didn't mind that John Hader as his manservant, as his butler. That was kind of funny. Well, when they're pretending for the father. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a waste of Kevin Pollak.
Yeah.
I thought he was just there. He was like wall furniture.
Yeah, well, that's what Kevin Pollak is now, wall furniture. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really do much.
I didn't think this movie needed to be set in the 70s. It felt like they wanted to set it in the 70s so they could do the Dukes of Hazzard jokes and the microwave being a new thing.
Yeah,
I kind of wanted it to be more modern. I don't know why. I just did.
But the Dukes of Hazzard joke works. It's got a nice payoff at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But does it for anybody under our age?
No, but that's what this movie's designed for, people our age that pay the Netflix bill.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, fair.
Yep.
Like, I sometimes think Netflix realizes that who pays the bills is us guys, so they put movies we might like on occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed
to... Well, that's The Irishman.
Right. Well, yeah, but they have to give us other things because they don't have another $40 million to waste. So they give us The Tiger Hunter, which...
Yep.
I wish was better. I liked it. I just wish it was better.
Right. What do you think, Doug?
He talked about it.
Oh, you dug? That's it? All right. I guess we're...
Yeah. There's not much done to say about it, really. It's very generic.
Yeah.
Correct.
Little Big Man. Directed by Alfred Penn. Starring Dustin Hoffman.
Arthur Penn.
Oh, okay. I put the record in by memory. My bad. Arthur Penn, starring Dustin Hoffman, Faye Dunaway, Chief Dan George, Martin Balsam, I don't know, and Richard Mulligan.
It would be really great if I could hear Daniel talking to his mic at the same time he reads them off and doesn't fade off on me. It could be nice. It's kind of like Little Big Man. It starts off really cool. I like the beginning. I like the old age makeup. I like the way it works. And then I just keep going, well, this is kind of interesting. Nope, not really. Oh, another scene. Yeah, this is okay. Nope, not really. God, Dustin Hoffman's voice drives me nuts after 2 hours and 19 minutes of this. And then I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe the problem is Dustin Hoffman. Maybe it's not the cast. I love Faye Dunaway in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I just find this film too long and not interesting enough for me and plays way too much with history.
I could see that.
All right. Well, I disagree with you on that. I think this is a great film. I think it's a better film than Bonnie and Clyde, which is Arthur Penn's other big film.
What?
Yeah. I prefer this to Bonnie and Clyde.
You're insane.
To me, this is like two movies. So it's two different ideas of America conflicting. And this main character, Jack Crab, and I hated the old age makeup. I thought it was terrible. I thought he looked like a wrinkled penis.
He did.
Looked terrible.
I like the premise.
And looked fake. I agree that Dustin Hoffman was probably not the best choice. He's good in it, though. I think he's pretty solid in it because he can play young to old.
Yeah.
He actually he doesn't come across as not, you know, whatever when he's a young kid. But I thought it was interesting. It's like the frontier versus Indian culture. And he bounces back and forth between the two because he's captured as a young child and raised as a Cheyenne. And so he bounces back and forth. So it's actually not very favorable to the American military of the late 1800s.
Well, they shouldn't be. They pretty much did exactly what he said, killed everybody.
Right.
And that was their whole plan.
And there's some awful sequences in there, like when his wife is running with the baby, and they're shooting her and all that stuff is going down. And that was all right after a hilarious sequence with the different wives and her, like his wife and their sisters were all in the bed, and they were all demanding he spend time with them. Chief Dan George is fantastic in it all the way through.
He's good. He's solid. I love him. He's good.
In every sequence he's in. Richard Mulligan is, to me, reminded me of the current president in his delusions of grandeur. You know, he was surrounded by sycophants, and he thought he was a genius and he could do no wrong.
Well, he wanted to be president.
Yeah, that was his, and of course he hated the existing president, and the reason why he wanted to be president was because he hated Grant.
Yes.
Right? So sort of like a certain president hating Obama.
Yes.
And everything Obama does is just grates on him. He has to undo it all. I thought, of course this is, 50 years before all this current stuff. But it's still, topical. It's about folly, and it's about, finding your way. And I enjoyed it a lot. It is long though. And it's a film that's haunted me because I saw it when I was a kid and I found it disturbing. And then in later years, I found it just an interesting portrayal of two different types of cultures clashing.
Correct.
Right. So I still think it's a pretty solid film. Cultural studies should follow. I'm sure they do look at this film. So
I'm going to say mark this date down. Because I'm agreeing with Simon on this. I think Bonnie and Clyde is a much better film with solid acting throughout. I'm a big Gene Hackman fan.
Mm-hmm.
So this week I watched Arthur Penn's other movie with Gene Hackman, Night Moves,
mm-hmm.
which is a private eye story in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie I was mostly thinking about when watching Little Big Man was Robert Altman's Buffalo Bill and the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking of.
I watched that movie recently, and it too dealt with the end of the Western era and how the U.S. reconciles what happened with the indigenous people. I think Robert Altman is a much stronger director than Arthur Penn.
I agree.
That was my main takeaway. As I was watching Little Big Man, I really wished I was watching Buffalo Bill and the Indians again.
I thought I was watching Nashville, hopefully.
I thought this has a Dances with Wolves has a lot more to do with this movie than Buffalo Bill. But yeah, I agree that Buffalo Bill is a much better film with a stronger director. I'm not always an Altman fan, but that was during Altman's golden age.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
I do think Little Big Man kind of jumped between over-the-top comedy and then super serious melodrama so fast. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned earlier with the scene with the wives,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately followed by the massacre of the entire village.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene where he was the, what did they call him? The soda pop kid.
Yeah.
That look he has on his face, I did not find that funny at all. I was more disturbed by it.
Well, yeah, he looks like, he reminded me a bit of, at the beginning of Maverick, when he goes into a poker game, there's a kid there who's like the young gunfighter. And he kind of reminds me of that actor in that sequence, but kind of over his head, but pretending he's a big deal. But all that was, of course, all that was driven into him by his sister. So, who the Indians thought was a young boy.
Yes. So.
Daniel, did you see this one or no?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't ask.
It was busy. It was football Sunday. Too busy.
I did love Faye Dunaway, though. I mm-hmm. love the scene at the soda shop where he catches them.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, oh, God, oh, God. And he's thinking, she was talking to God, but I don't think that's what she was really thinking about.
Yes.
Yes.
I like that scene a lot.
Yes. And that has a nice resolution when he runs into her later.
It does.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, well, not about the movie, but one downfall to the speaker view is that we couldn't see Simon dancing when Doug agreed with him.
Oh, too bad for you.
I could see you, but the viewers on YouTube on the YouTubes can't.
You know what I miss, Kevin, most in life? Is when I worked downtown and I got to go to Chinatown for lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's great. well, don't go there. It's Chinatown, okay?
Okay.
It's just what happens in Chinatown stays in Chinatown.
Forget it, Simon. It's Chinatown.
Would you go with your sister? Or your daughter?
Or your daughter?
Good word, guys.
Awesome. Would you go for the water?
I did. I went for the water.
Okay, that's water. That's a lot of transitions. Directed by Roman Polanski, starring Jack Nicholson, Faye Dunaway, John Huston, or Huston, I don't know.
Huston,
thank you. Perry Lopez, John Hillerman, Daryl Zwirling, Diane Ladd, and James Hong.
Gotcha. I couldn't believe James Hong was in this way. James Hong.
Oh, no. He deserves that star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, I know you didn't see this again, correct?
No, I saw it.
Okay, start.
You know what? I would like other people to start because I'm not a contrarian by nature, but I just – it's well made. But you know what? This is fine. Like, I don't know. I didn't love it. It's fine, but I don't know if it's a Polanski thing with the weird daughter-sister twist, but I don't know. I didn't really care about the water – whole water thing. I love Jack Nicholson, Faye Dunaway, but I'm not, yeah, you know what? I'm not a contrarian by nature, but it finished and I was like, okay, so that's The Great Chinatown. I spent on my watch list forever. I'd give it a 6. It's just.
That's what I give it.
Yeah, but our scores are very.
Yeah, but you're harder on film, Simon. That's.
I am.
So I don't think it'll make a big impression on me. So, and that's kind of why I'm hesitant to go through my watch list because there's like these classic films that I might not enjoy that much. And I liked aspects of it. I liked the cast a lot. I thought the twist was interesting. I didn't care about them fighting over the land or the water. I didn't find that interesting. That's my contrarian take.
Yeah. Wow. Can I disagree on both things you said?
Fuck yeah. I mean, it's a beloved film. I know I'm contrarian.
Oh, my God. Roman Polanski always impresses me as a director, no matter what he does. It's style over substance here, I think. I mean, the script's good. I like the script. It moves. But just the look of the film, I just want to live in this world weekly and just watch this. It's the look of the film. Jack is beautiful. Faye Dunaway is beautiful. The storyline's okay. But the look to me, the set design, the lighting, phenomenal. You don't get this in movies nowadays. This is why Chinatown's beloved. Because you just don't get the look. And to me, a lot of movies nowadays forget set design and don't really care and don't rely on that. This has it all. Beautiful narration works for me. Works on multiple levels. Every time I see this, I see something different. Even when I don't love the movie, I see different things in it because the directing is so strong and the set design is.
You know,
to me, it's better than fine.
I can totally agree that it looks great. It's a movie you should study, but it's the story that I just didn't feel. And I think that's my problem.
Fair enough.
So, fine, Simon, you convinced me. It's fine. I'll change my score. God. It's a 7, all right? Damn it.
Perfect.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
I love this movie. I'll be honest with you. You guys say the story's not great. I think it's one of the more perfect screenplays for a mystery ever written. The stuff with the water, that's kind of what really happened. So this is based... Not necessarily everything is based on fact, but in California, it's super corrupt. People were always trying to get land rights or water rights. That's part of the stuff that fascinated me. But what I love is the small details, like him taking the little watch, putting it under the tire. So when it runs over it, he knows exactly what time the person left.
Mm-hmm.
I love stuff like that.
Okay.
I also love this movie. I mean, I think giving it a 6 is blasphemy.
I know.
Cam, give me a 7. Leave me alone.
Oh, man. 8 or 9.
Okay, it's a 10 now.
I love the look of it. I mean, and sometimes movies can be time machines. And Chinatown is a time machine, in my opinion. You're going back to that era, that 1930s look of Los Angeles. And if you know anything about the history of Los Angeles, as Doug was saying, the water rights thing was a huge deal. And there was no water. Like where Los Angeles is, there's no fresh water. So you have to import it in via aqueduct. And the aqueduct system is fascinating. So that scene where he goes and, you know, the kitty cat scene where he flicks a knife and cuts his nose.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That was shot at the actual aqueduct. So the water every so often goes rushing down. It goes through to fill the pipes that people use to drinking water and showers. It all comes in and through. And it's all piped through miles and miles of drains. It's a fascinating system. I'm digressing, but I watched a documentary on it that was on the DVD where they actually went out and showed it. And it's not like it's pumped. There's no pumps in the drainage system, and it still functions almost 100 years after it was set up. But the way that it rolls down a mountain through pipes, through the valley, and then down another set of another hilly section where it's kind of like a gradual plane. It's just fascinating. Anyway, and then it was all bought up by one guy. And so if you wanted water, you had to go through his commission. And that one fellow who is the John Huston character was probably the most powerful person in Los Angeles at the time. So to find out that he was, you know, having an affair with his daughter who had another daughter who was pretending to be your sister, and what was the mystery and how did that work? I thought it was just fascinating. And Jake Eddies is a great character. And he even transitions well into the sequel.
He does.
So, yeah.
Well, spoilers for my thought on the sequel. Mm-hmm. This film had an innate sense of danger to it as well. I never felt Jake Eddies was on level footing. I thought something could happen to him at any moment.
He was a lucky guy that stumbled into a big deal. He was like a little fish. Yeah.
Yes.
So with that history, I didn't know that. If I had known that beforehand, I'm rusty on my history. So if I had known that beforehand, I might unironically would move up my score if I had known that beforehand.
Google.
I mean, I never got really the story spoiled. So if it's been out for a while and I haven't seen it, I'll just go in. That's
Google.
I use Bing.
Bing.
I'm not living in 2020. I'm living in 2015. I use Bing.
Fine. No, is this the case of the two Jakes and the two search engines?
It's directed by Jack Nicholson. Directed by Jack Nicholson, starring Jack Nicholson, Harvey Keitel, Meg Tilly, Madeline Stowe, Eli Wallach, David Keith, Richard Farnsworth, and James Hong. And the thing goes without saying, since I didn't love the first film, I didn't watch this one.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. I'd always avoided this movie. I heard at the time it was kind of disappointing, so I didn't bother. I would say it's actually aged well. For a movie that came out almost right after Nicholson was the Joker in Batman. It's kind of interesting. And then his buddy, his assistant in Batman, is also in the film, the guy with the stringy hair.
Bob, you're my number one guy.
That's right. I like this movie a lot. I was very surprised. It has a lot of the same detective notes and things he's hidden in the scene and to protect, you know, to discover who's been breaking into the room and what time. And, you know, he has a lot of secrets. He's definitely moved up in the detective game over the years, and he has a whole agency, and you know, Harvey Keitel was okay in it as the other Jake. He's a land developer, right? Mm-hmm. And they're building subdivisions, but he's married to the daughter from. I'm kind of spoiling the film, but he's married to.
You are. Yeah. Yes.
But there's this whole secret, and he's, and you know that something's going on, and Jake has a sense that there's some connection to this. Meg Tilly is very good as the daughter, slash husband, wife of Harvey Keitel, and Madeline Stowe has a few steam-stealing moments, so she kind of just disappeared.
Yeah. And
she's very good as the drunk, charming wife of somebody. I can't remember what her role was. I can't remember. It's been a couple of weeks, but. Overall, I liked it. I thought it kind of ends in a fuzzy way. Again, not the strongest, but the look and feel of it was very good, and it was, you know, an appropriate sequel to Chinatown.
I agree with most of your points. I hated the ending. I just sort of went, okay, we're done. You were explaining something to me? Nope, guess not. We're not going to get the nice Chinatown ending. I thought it was a little long. I think we could have cut some of the scenes. Like him driving it to work did not need to be in this film at any time. Like at a runtime of 216 or 214, I could have found 14 minutes to cut out, no problem.
I think that's what hats have when your lead actor is also the director.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's that. I find they spend a lot of time with people walking places. You see that again with the Harvey Keitel character showing up at one point. I'm like, why do we have this scene in here? It's not, we don't need this establishing shot. We know they're going golfing. Or we know they're going to a detective agency. Right. Just put me there. Like, I don't need to see his car. It was nice to see the old cars because I like those things, but I can go to a car show. I like the look. Again, I like the set design. I think he used probably some of the same sets maybe or same costume designer because everything felt the same to me as Chinatown. Had the same kind of look.
Shot in and around L.A.
Yeah, and I like L.A. I've been to L.A. I've seen this stuff. I like the look. I think if you see Chinatown, you kind of have to see this just to finish it off. I don't think it holds a candle to Chinatown, but I don't think it's upsetting either.
Now, this movie, it was kind of boring to me. I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah, no problems with it, Doc. Great.
Like I said, with Chinatown, it had the innate sense of dread. I never felt Jake was in any danger in Two Jakes.
I think it was more like, what's the mystery here? What's the connection? Trying to figure out who was doing what. What was the big deal with Harvey Keitel's land development and the mob, I think, right? So, but yeah, you're right.
I actually read that there was a third Jake Giddey story that Robert Towne had, which was going to be about the highway system. But Who Framed Roger Rabbit got to that story first, so.
Wait a second. The third movie in Chinatown is Roger Rabbit?
No.
Not exactly. Similar story about L.A. and the expansion of mass transportation and the highway system. And how building the highways moved people out of the suburbs or the neighborhoods that weren't all white people. Like they were moving the Mexicans out. They were moving black people. They just wanted to build the highways there. There's a whole history to it, much like the water in the first one.
Well, Daniel would have missed it because it wasn't on Bing, so we don't have to worry about that.
Actually, interesting enough, that expansion of highways around Los Angeles storyline is actually a big part of Penny Dreadful, City of Angels. Same type of thing. Yep.
Gentrification.
Well, yes. I don't know. I think highways are being built because there has to be built because the population has just expanded so much.
Oh, what a feeling, though.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, what a feeling. Flashdance. I didn't write the director down, but it stars Jennifer Beals, Michael Nouri, Sonny Johnson, Kyle T. Hefner, Lee Ving, Ron Karabatsos.
Now, the director is Adrian Lyne.
Okay, thank you.
The director is the big divorce one with Michael Douglas.
Oh,
War of the Roses?
No, no, the one where it's the Rabbit Stew.
The Rabbit Stew. Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction, yeah, same director.
Now, Simon, since you're the dance freak here, do you want to start?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big dance freak. Where do I start? The song is better than the whole film? I could only not remember this. I remember it was when I was like 11, this came out, and it was the most talked about film probably for the couple weeks it came out. And I all I remember was a dance number. I'm watching this going, this is really dumb. The script is terrible. There's no point to this. And at no time am I buying this relationship. It just doesn't make sense. And her friends, the blonde making the decision to join the strip club guy, I'm like, doesn't make any sense either. Really, this film has no direction other than I'm going to be a dancer. Let's just play the song whenever I'm trying out to do things. I wanted a movie about that black street guy. I liked him better than I liked this whole movie.
Who?
The guy she meets to learn the twirl on the street. She's walking with her friend.
The breakdancers.
The breakdancers. That's where she learns her big move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, song was better than the film. That's all I have to say.
But see, the whole movie is just like music video montages. So when you say the street dancer, I don't remember who you're talking about. Like,
don't worry, you missed nothing.
I like Jennifer Beals here a lot. Yeah, I agree. I didn't really buy the relationship. Even the iconic, the water coming down on her, the splash zone. Mm-hmm. I thought that scene was not well shot. It's too dark. I mean, it's because it's an introduction to her, but you can't see shit.
Terribly shot.
Yeah. And then
that whole scene, you could know why she's not dancing. It's not Jennifer Beals dancing. That's why it's badly shot, because they're hiding that fact. And you can see that constantly. The woman doesn't, especially in the recital, you can tell it's not Jennifer Beals. Right there on the scene when she runs away and runs back towards camera, I'm like, that doesn't even look like her hairstyle.
Yeah. And then the face paint and really bad strobe light scene. That was, what's going on? You know what? I liked it for maybe 15 minutes from that weird lobster scene. And then until she was like, oh, I want to get in on my own merit. I want this audition on my own merit, but it's just no story. And then it's like, I feel like the editor wanted to go home and he's like, hey, let's just end it. It's like, sure. Okay. Great soundtrack though, but just, I don't like Footloose that much either. So. But yeah.
Footloose has exactly the same problem. Good song. Film's not as good.
Yeah, I agree.
Doug, you want to go?
Kevin?
I'll be honest, I didn't watch this one.
Okay. Lucky you.
I did remember seeing this at the time, and I revisited recently. They've done a 4K version, so you can definitely see that it's not Jennifer Beals dancing in many of those sequences. This is an interesting film because it's the first collaboration between Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. And so you can sort of see that formula that goes all the way through their other films like Coyote Ugly and
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Armageddon and stuff like that. But yeah, this is kind of a fairy tale. I disagree with you on the shooting. Adrian Lyne is a very well-respected director, but he focuses in a lot on natural light and strobes and things like that. So that's why the film is very dark. But I thought some of the sequences around the construction yard were fascinating with the use of light.
Those are good. I agree with you on that. I like those.
Jennifer Beals is great. They discovered her for this. You know, this is her first movie, basically. She's got a lot of charisma, a lot of energy. She really was this movie was a big deal for a whole generation of women. Because it's a romance movie where she more or less calls the shots. It's not like the guy has to find her and make her what she is. She's an independent woman. She's this sort of a flash dancer that's kind of a stripper but not a stripper. She's puts work into the dancing, all that stuff. She's trying to achieve something. She finds the boyfriend. I think they thought about not having her end up with the guy, and they're like, no, this is a fairy tale. She has to end up with her prince. In this case, it's the guy that owns the company. So this cute. There's the sequence where she takes her bra off under the sweatshirt. That's very famous.
She did that in real life. That's when they did it. I was reading that article like, what?
And his reaction she did is that.
She did that in real life because she's a dancer and she used to have to do dance stages from school to dance class.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she did it.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no meat to it. It's very flash and substance and.
Except for the lobster.
And then, you know, the kid, the comedian in the kitchen, all that stuff.
Oh,
the girl that is his girlfriend. Now, the tragic is that woman died shortly after the film.
Yeah, next year or something.
Yeah.
The Hannah character? So,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, cause she was okay in her sequences.
Yeah, I looked her up to see what else she had done. I'm like, oh, she died.
Yeah, she died pretty soon after. So overall, I mean, I think that film is fantastic soundtrack, matters a lot to women at the time. Now it would probably be not that great, big of a deal, but.
Kevin's taken dance lessons. It meant so much to him now.
He's a maniac.
No, I mean, for me, whenever that film came out, the scene in the strip club was a very important sequence for me as a young man.
Of course, for all of us. I love it. It was amazing.
And some of her dance things were kind of different. And then the other woman, the second dancer at the club, she was almost cast in the lead for the film.
Oh, Jenny?
She does all of her dancing in that. She's an actual dancer and actress. So.
Does she do the figure skating too? Or was that a different character? I don't even
different
know.
Different character. That was Hannah, I think, who took her figure skating.
Was that like her sister?
Hannah can't skate. No, it's her friend.
Well, she falls on her ass, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She can't skate.
Oh, I thought Hannah was the old woman.
Might be a bit of Rocky. Oh, I don't remember. Here.
The old woman who dies and then.
I thought the figure skating scene was lifted from Rocky completely.
Really?
Just same kind of the way they did it. There were the only two on the ice and this and that. I'm like, oh, it's Rocky all over again.
But she had to have her dreams shattered so that she would want to go with that asshole that was always hanging around who worked at the strip club.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why set up that storyline that nobody cares about?
Well, that was that movie. It's like you're there for the love story with her and that
if you buy it, yeah.
That lead guy is kind of, I don't know, to me he's like a 70s Burt Convy type. So
now for that figure skating scene, was she pretty in pink?
She was.
She's okay.
Hey.
Not her in the eyes.
Okay. It's Pretty in Pink, written by John Hughes. I don't think
he wrote it. He didn't direct it.
I said written. I didn't put the director down because I just put written. Starring Molly Ringwald, John Cryer, Andrew Harry Dean Stanton, Annie Potts, James Spader, and Andrew McCarthy.
Do you have the director, Kevin, or do I need to look this up?
Director is Howard Deutsch.
Deutsch!
Yeah, I wrote down the writer because I was surprised to learn he didn't direct it.
Kevin, do you have something to tell us? You're hiding something in the background there.
Was that a baby?
No, the cat just yelled.
Oh, I thought that was a baby.
That's what I thought. Well, okay. Pretty in Pink.
No, the cat hopped on the couch and yelled at me for some reason. Like,
I love this movie. I will always love this movie. Ducky makes my day every time I watch this film. I don't know. Molly Ringwald's great. I don't think she's a great actress, but she works for me. She kind of just, I had a little bit of a crush and I still do. It works perfectly. Mm-hmm. I love her dad. I love the film. And I honestly say after not seeing this in 30 something years, I had forgotten all of it.
Yes.
Except for Annie Potts. Annie Potts started the movie.
Yeah, I for some reason I had not seen this. I'd seen the other Howard, John Hughes films, but I'd missed this one.
I don't know how that was possible.
I know, I don't know how I missed
it. We're the same age almost.
I was probably working at Centerville at the time, so I just didn't have a chance to go. Came out in the summer of 86.
Were you there?
Actually came out in February of 86. Yeah, I started there working maybe 86. So,
February, was like, Centerville wasn't open, Kevin.
No, it would have opened in April or May. But I probably just didn't go see it because it was like a girl film. It was about a girl in Pretty in Pink. Why would I want to go see that? I'm a guy.
Okay.
I don't know. I was a 15 or 16 year old guy at the time. 15, I think. Yeah. Anyway, Molly Ringwald is great. She's gorgeous. She's the age of the character in the film.
Yes.
She's 17 playing 17. John Cryer, amazing. Fantastic. A lot of charm. You can tell, I think I run the room. Well, I think that guy might go places based on his performance in this movie. And he's definitely gone in some interesting directions. I'm not a big Andrew McCarthy man. That guy he's got no personality in my opinion. You know, was he in Weekend at Bernie's?
Or is yes. that another? Okay. Yes, yeah. That's yeah. him.
Yeah. Annie Potts is great. Harry Dean Stanton is charming as the father. James Spader was James Spader, the same character he's played for the last 50 years or 40 years, just an asshole, except he had nice hair in that movie. I thought it was very interesting. I watched a very long documentary about the film where they talked about how they had to completely reshoot the ending of the film 6 months later because audiences hated how they had finished the film originally.
What was the original ending? They don't get together?
The original ending was the one from the novel that actually came out, that if you find the novel, you'll find it. She ends up with Ducky.
Oh, I don't want her with Ducky ever.
No.
Ducky's a dick to her.
But all of the people, Lauren Shuler, Donner, Deutsch, everyone, John Hughes in particular, they wanted her to end up with Ducky.
No.
Molly Ringwald said, ooh, why would I end up with Ducky? He's like my brother.
Yeah.
She says there's no chemistry. And they said, no, this is what we think. John Hughes is, she's like, well, I'll do it if you want. But, the test audience are like, no, why? And all the girls that went and see it were like, why would she end up with Ducky? Ducky's like, it's like practically gay. I mean, he's like, not.
Ducky like, is gay.
I don't think Ducky was gay though. I don't know. But he could have, and it would have been great actually if he'd ended up with Annie Potts.
Yes, but, I think that was possible.
Because they were a good match. But so they basically rewrote Andrew McCarthy's arc so that he's not a dick at the end of the film. And,
perfect.
Yeah.
Doug, did you watch this?
He also had no hair when they reshot it, so they had to do a wig.
I did not watch this.
Okay.
So the last two, I'm sorry.
Daniel?
No, I watched 7 minutes and then I gave up.
Okay, go ahead, Kev. Anything else to say before I get to the last thing?
Did anybody buy anything?
I did. I have it right here. I have Frighteners. Look at this. Big box set.
Oh, wow.
I have this thing. You're going to have to look at these really quickly. If you're on the audio, I can't say them. I have Blind Justice right here. Love Don't Cost a Thing. That move. Return to Nirvana.
You muted yourself, buddy.
We've lost him. It's just crap. So frantic.
You're back.
I'm back. Hold on.
We got big deals. $5 here, $10 there.
I gotta go. I only got a minute. Sorry, Otto. Perfect day.
Muted yourself.
Audio's gone again.
Proceed.
Mississippi's burning.
Oh, I see when my mic's coming out. I have Some Promised Love. I have Desperate Hours. Sound of Thunder and a 4-pack that Daniel will get one day. Have a great day if they make it.
Simon rushes through them.
Simon rushes through it. Well, Doug bought Friday the 13th, the box set.
Yes.
And then, great.
And I bought all the James Bond movies in 4K.
And I got my movies from Kevin that I bought in like July.
Oh, you got them finally. Great. Okay. Yeah, good stuff. And if they make it, Simon mutes his mic.
To contact us, please email at extrafeatures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.